Okay, everybody, welcome back once again to Tech Gumbo. I'm Haggai Davis II, along with Haggai Davis III, and we'd like to welcome you to Tech Gumbo. Here on our show, we like to talk about the past, present, and future of all things technology in a topical, interesting, and digestible way. Without geek speak or a bunch of acronyms, we just want to talk about technology that's important to us and important to you.
We also want to thank Cardinal Capital. To business owners and CEOs, hopefully you have a good relationship with your lender. Even if you do, sometimes you face other challenges, such as a need to consolidate debt, a want to level out your cash flow, or a desire to buy new equipment because you're in growth mode. If this describes you, give Cardinal Capital a call, whatever your need or challenge. They have over 4,000 lenders where they source commercial capital for business clients. Chris, Gary, and Rob at Cardinal Capital have a passion for business, and they want you to succeed. When you meet with Cardinal Capital, they get to know you and your business, so they can present your needs to a lending institution that will best fit your unique situation. In short, they go after money for your business. They translate your business into what's important for lenders, and they are good at it. Depending upon what the deal is, no matter how complicated or straightforward, they will help maximize your profitability while setting your business up for success. They find the best solution for your situation, all while being fun and easy to deal with. For more detailed information, visit their website at cardinalcap.net. You can also call them 225-308-3700 or email them info@cardinalcap.net.
Okay, Mr. Davis, let's kick ourselves off some tech gumbo today.
Sounds great.
Start off with the news and updates. And one of the big news stories this week was Kate Middleton, the future Queen of England, and her photo scandal.
So to just normal Tech Gumbo listeners, before you freak out, understand that we are not here for the gossip or the drama about the royal family. We are here specifically for the technology lens of the story. That the reason why this is a big deal is that the AP published a doctored photo. Or they said that it had been digitally manipulated and that they issued a kill notice, which means that they redacted all of their publications of that photo.
And they pulled it citing manipulation. And kill notices are very, very rare. They seldom ever happen. But when it gets to the level where there was enough manipulation in this photo where they couldn't trust it, that's why they had to kill it. And that's the part of the story that we're interested in. The actual manipulation of the photo. And when is it okay to manipulate a photo? How much is okay to manipulate a photo? And those are the technology parts that of the story that we're interested in.
These are new and changing norms. And so just to set a baseline here, the AP allows for minor cropping and color adjustments, but doesn't even allow for the removal of red eye. And so they set very strict standards. But my guess is that most people on your everyday photo would be completely fine if someone posted a picture of me and they were able to correct for red eye in a photo. I would probably even want that. I would rather the one that shows up on Facebook or on Instagram to be very slightly corrected or improved, but where do you draw the line? I think that's going to vary for a lot of different people.
It was interesting, too, because she released a statement saying, like many amateur photographers, I occasionally experiment with editing. Well, that's fine if you were editing a photo and you were just putting it maybe on your Facebook page or your Instagram account or something like that. But when you're someone who's that high profile and this is an official account that they're releasing these pictures from, now you've crossed a line. And that's what elicited the kill notice.
I think ultimately the thing that we are circling around here is this idea of authenticity. That if someone removed my red eyes from a photo, that you didn't change that photo. You didn't really change that experience, and people who saw me in person wouldn't have even seen the red eyes. Those are more an artifact of the medium. Or same thing with cropping or adjusting the lighting a little bit in post-production. Those are all more artifacts of the photography process itself. you're not changing how someone who was there would have experienced the reality. But for a lot of people, those tools to be able to alter that, you know, seemingly unalterable image are now landing in their hands. Google has a lot of tools that they're very excited about and trying to put in your hands.
If you've not been seeing all the Google Pixel ads where they are showing you that how you can take a whole person out of the background of your photo, or if you don't like the person who is in the photo with you anymore, you just want them gone, you removing everything from the picture. You're totally manipulating the photo. And it's perfectly fine because Google says you can do it, and you can do it on the iPhone as well as smartphone technology. It used to be, you know, not too very long ago, you had to go buy a real expensive copy of Adobe Photoshop to be able to do something like that. And now with the software that comes built into your smartphone, you can make whatever edits you want to these pictures. And in this case, if the Princess of Wales had just used a Google phone and decided to clean one or two little things up, would anybody have really known?
And I think that again comes back to this idea of degree, that the reasons why this image was taken down is that once you started to look at it, a lot of weird things were showing up in the Photoshop, that a lot of the lines weren't lining up, a lot of the, like, her wrist blurred into something else, and that there's just a lot of very poorly managed details. And I think that's ultimately what did them in. Had the photo been better Photoshopped, I think it would have passed the smell test. It would not be this international news story. We would not be talking about it had they just gotten a better Photoshop person. And I think that also gets to kind of this idea here that to some degree we're talking about authenticity, but we're also just talking about believability. That if you sell me something and I can't tell you that it's fake, I will just kind of opt into it.
And it comes down to, does somebody have the right to truly edit a photo to where it is such a manipulated photo and then present it as being authentic? This isn't a problem that right now you can tell that this photo was edited. But the way this artificial intelligence is happening 5 years from now, you'll never know that any photo was ever edited.
But I think even taking a step back from there, it's important to think about the idea of having one objective reality that can be captured by a photograph. That for most of human history, that idea didn't even make sense. All you had were memories, things written down in books, paintings, and those were all very subjective and could be altered easily and were altered often by people for any reason. And so it's only a very new notion that we have of this digital perfect recreation of reality. And so we're now kind of moving back into that place wherever the image that we are storing and preserving is the one that we want to. And that is kind of the more human thing anyway. And so it's this interesting balance that, well, yes, in some ways that feels dystopian, but it also feels human.
But if you're a news organization and you're counting on authenticity in the pictures that you're presenting on your website or whatever information that if you're the AP or any one of these news outlets, the pictures that you're posting, you're counting on them being real. And how soon before you really don't know if it's real or not?
Oh, yeah. We're absolutely about to blow a hole in public trust. That these companies like AP, the reason why they are these trusted international brands is because they have such high standards that they really do place a lot of time and effort to make sure that whenever they distribute a photo, they know that it's real. They know that it's happened. Whenever you see that from AP, you can trust it. We're just about to do away with that. That exists for, you know, a few more years. But until we develop simultaneously the technology to be able to detect a deep fake and the ability to create a deep fake, then your reality will be whatever you want it to be. And that is not the direction that we're excited about.
Moving along, Microsoft says the Russian-sponsored hack that was reported back in January is still a problem for them.
This isn't that surprising. Whenever you obtain a lot of high-level information, I believe it was passwords from some of the high-level executives at Microsoft, it's going to take a while. That this was a sophisticated attack, again, done by an organization with a really cool name, Midnight Blizzard, and they weren't just doing this for the fun of it. They probably knew what they wanted already, knew how they were planning to use it, knew what they were going to get, and so it will be time. It probably will be several more months before we really understand what they were intending to do with what they got.
Microsoft released a statement saying they're still trying to kick the Russians out of their email accounts, that they're not even sure that what they have has been cleaned out. They're quite sure that the accounts that were breached, that those accounts, that data is still floating around out there. And they didn't get into the HR files, but they did get into some high-level information. And it's going to be a problem until Microsoft can really, really clamp down and figure out just what's going on.
Yeah, and this is one of those things that a lot of times also these hacks chain into each other, that we were really worried about the implications of the SolarWinds attack because what they learned would enable them to do future attacks, and that these are not just some fat guy sitting in his basement. These are entire teams of highly trained people who are all operating together for long-term missions. And you have to think of it like that. This is the resources of an aggressor state, and that they are thinking probably in terms of years to decades. That, and so each one of these attacks is likely in service of another future attack. And this is something very serious. These are huge hacks, and Microsoft is one of the global leaders in cybersecurity. If they're having trouble protecting themselves, it's not great for the rest of us.
Another thing that may not be so good is the fact that your car is probably spying on you, especially if you have a General Motors vehicle with OnStar on it.
This is a trend that we see growing a lot in cars, and it's the collection of data that a lot of different sources are collecting data about you, sometimes with your knowledge, sometimes not. And a lot of them are insurance companies. Your insurance company wants to know how you are driving because then they can adjust your rate, sometimes up, sometimes down. And again, sometimes with your knowledge, sometimes without your knowledge.
This guy, he was a Seattle businessman. He noticed that his car insurance had gone up by 21% in the year 2022. And he started snooping around and figured out that his Chevy Bolt had collected a whole lot of information about his particular driving habits. His particular driving habits were sold to the insurance company, and the insurance company said, "Oh, hey, look, you're more of a risk than we thought. We're going to jack your rates up by 21%. Because we think you're that much of a risk based upon your driving habits."
And so this is really fascinating because, as we're going to talk about in our conversation with Abe Geely, what rights do we have to know about the data that's being collected about us? Even if I agree that you can collect it, I would just like to know what you are collecting. What are you trying to learn about me? I want to know, how much can you piece together? How much can you guess about my life? And some of these things that they are looking at are, for example, instances of hard braking. Well, they have some threshold for what they define as hard braking versus regular braking, but is that a number that is specific to them? Do they have that number set? Or is that an industry standard? And all these different things that it would just be really nice to have more transparency around what's happening here.
So if you've got that OnStar, and especially when you tie it back to your phone, as a lot of people do, so that I can use my phone to connect to my OnStar app to be able to open my car remotely or have the engine start on a hot day or something like that. Well, you're giving the automobile company one more piece of data to stitch back to you when they go and sell your information to whoever. So be careful out there of what you ask for, because you may just get it.
And so some companies give you the option to turn off the data collection from the vehicle itself. But for example, Honda requires you to scan through the 2,000 word terms and conditions screen on its app. And so this is one of those things wherever sometimes the terms and conditions are like, yeah, fine, I accept, move on. But there might be things in there, and I don't read through all the terms and conditions. I do just say, yeah, I accept and move on. And sometimes you learn that there's stuff in there that you wish you knew ahead of time.
Speaking of things you knew, a lot of people like to play the New York Times Wordle game. And apparently a lot of people tried to recreate the Wordle game because it was so popular.
Someone created the software online to make a lot of different variants of it. And so the New York Times has been very aggressive protecting its brand. This gets, you know, a little bit into copyright issues. I'm not a lawyer. We're not lawyers here. Whether or not they are filing proper copyright notices, whether or not they're just throwing their weight around and seeing what sticks, that's above my pay grade. But, you know, some of these, maybe you could argue that if you have recreated Wordle in a very different language, like Korean, which doesn't even use English characters, they use their entirely own character system. I don't know, like, that doesn't feel that close to me.
The code that was written was called Reactle, and this code has been copied about 1,900 times, according to GitHub. So every time somebody's been copying, that's how many of these Wordle clones are out there, some almost 2,000 versions of it. And the New York Times is not real happy. They paid a lot of money to get that game, and they want you to come to the New York Times website, not go to all these fake websites.
Yeah, and it also is important to note that some of them are just going to be direct ripoffs. Some of them will be very easy. Yes, that, you know, I understand why they're upset about that one. And so whether or not they have the legal standing, that is for the lawyers to figure out.
The last story we wanted to get to, Roku is bricking your TV unless you accept the dispute resolution terms. Speaking of reading the T's and C's.
So this means that until you hit, I agree to accept all of the dispute resolution terms, you can't use your TV anymore.
That's a real big problem. That if you're a Roku only, you know, if you've cut the cord, you're not on cable, you use Roku TV, that's your main source of entertainment. But you decide, wait a minute, I may want to have some options. I may want to be able to dispute differently from your terms. Well, then you've got an issue, because they're bricking all of these TVs. If you don't accept our terms, we're shutting you off.
They do give one out. You have to mail a piece of paper to their office with a whole bunch of pieces of information on it, but you cannot even email them. You cannot go to their website and fill out a form. You have to fill out a letter and put it in the mail. And it has to be done within 30 days. And so even that alone already feels pretty ridiculous, that they know it would probably be easier on their end to set up the website, because then it could all happen automatically. And it would be entirely digital. It'd be entirely virtual, as opposed to having to set up a mailbox, having to have someone open the letter, having to have someone read through it, and then go into your database and manually change all this. That's labor intensive. They're spending a lot of money to make sure that you don't have access to your TV unless you accept all of their dispute resolution terms.
Interesting, too. One of their terms is that you give up any right to get involved in a class action lawsuit made through a court for mass arbitration.
How worried is Roku about ending up in class action lawsuits? What is my TV going to do? What is going to be so wrong or bad with it that there are class action lawsuits against my television?
That's a fascinating question, because, I mean, other than just showing TV shows or movies or videos that they've bought the rights to and are charging me to have a Roku subscription. What class action lawsuit could we be involved in? Or are they, is it because they showed something that is offensive?
My guess is they're just trying to get out in front of anything that they don't have a specific lawsuit in mind they're trying to prevent. But still, you have to worry that if this works for them, that a lot of other people are going to start doing something similar as well.
We want to thank General Informatics for sponsoring our show. General Informatics is an information technology firm with a mission to make our clients even more successful through the best use of technology. Based in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, General Informatics is a premier IT managed service provider delivering exceptional managed IT solutions to a diverse base of customers across the southeastern United States. From the beginning, we have maintained our commitment to meeting the growing needs of our clients through continuous innovation. With over 20 years of experience and a team of 180 plus employees, including technicians, engineers, program designers, GI has evolved to become the leading IT partner of business schools and government agencies. Our managed services teams can run your digital infrastructure or support your team on an on-demand basis, letting you focus on your business strengths. This has become a proven formula, so proven that 98% of our clients continue to do business with us year after year. Whether you need IT services, new technology, or have a question, visit us on the web at geninf.com.
If you enjoyed our show today, we are here on Talk 107.3 FM every Saturday at 4 p.m. and the show reruns Sundays also at 4 p.m. If you missed any part of the show or you'd like to hear this or previous episodes, check out our podcast available on almost every podcast platform, including iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, and more. When you're there, be sure to subscribe so you get notified every time we post a new episode. If you like our show or you have any suggestions, let us know on our website at www.techgumbo.net. Thank you for listening to Tech Gumbo.